Now, David will talk about one's level of consciousness and its effect on true forgiveness.
You're dealing with the degree of the person's sincerity and their degree of spiritual sophistication and the evolution of their own consciousness. Somebody who's highly evolved in their own consciousness would view the project completely differently than somebody who is of a very low consciousness. And other people would see everyone involved as innocent. So it depends on the degree of one's intellectual and spiritual evolution, sophistication, how you choose to look at this. So that's called framing. So how you frame it then defines what it means. So framing becomes a very significant understanding. Within the frame of what ought to be or should be, it looks wrong because you frame that to be wrong. So the degree of sophistication, the broadness of the panoramic view with which you hold this, the screen against which you hold it. So again, you're looking at how you frame it. What is the significance? Why is this more significant than anything else? Labeling and the framing of it. So you define in your life, and then you see certain phenomena are inimical to human life. All of human life at a certain time brings about certain experiences. They're almost universal. And it's just part of being human. So you stop being egoistically looking at it that it's just you and your trauma and your sad story and your this, that, and the other. And you see it's part of the human condition. Almost anything you look at when you frame it differently becomes just part of the condition of being human. At some time in your life, everything has seemed so dark, like you wonder if you could go on. And despair. So you hit the bottom, of the box, almost as a test of your right to survive. It's almost like a challenge by your own soul. The dark night of the soul is really a challenge from and by your own soul to vindicate the value of your own existence to your own realization, the value of life and the gift of God. Jesus sweat blood. Jesus sweat blood. Anybody who's done any really deep meditation and gone into advanced state remembers all the attacks you get on the way. And the last thing the lower element wants is another elevated consciousness on the planet. So it does everything it can to dissuade you. And when you realize that the greatest beings who've ever lived have gone through the dark night of the soul, that allows you to accept, yes, that's the evolution of my own spirit. It's the evolution of my own soul. Am I willing to experience this out for God and for the spiritual value? And then you say yes, and you go through it, and you do survive it. Is it hell? Yes, it is hell. Anguish, despair. It's almost like a part of the human curriculum, that if you're going to go any place in this lifetime, you're going to be tested. And, of course, the forces of darkness purposely do test you. They purposely do see what you're up to and challenge you in every way they can to see if they can scare you out. And the temptation also comes up to forego your spiritual goal and side rail you. This happens to the clergy a lot. It hits the news all the time. Challenged, and they either transcend the challenge or they succumb to the challenge.
To conclude this session on healing and total wellness, David shares an amazing insight he had in treating one of his patients.
They treated 25,000 patients, and a goodly percentage of them were hopeless. In fact, I specialized in the hopeless and the despair. And one thing people forget about is that some people have good karma. There's good karma in people that has been undiscovered. One time they brought a patient to me who was crazy indeed, very psychotic. The family had a lot of money. They take him to see every famous psychiatrist in the country. Anyway, they bring this guy in, he sits down, and my mind said, he's mad as a hatter, crazier than a loon. Instantly, I said to him, what have you been doing this last summer? Well, one of the symptoms of mercury poisoning is a crazy type of psychosis. And that's where it came from, mad as a hatter, because the hatters used to lick their tongue and get the mercury, and they get enough mercury, hatters went crazy as they got older. Anyway, a voice out of nowhere said into my mind, he's as mad as a hatter. And I found out, yes, the summer before he'd been spraying pesticides and had come in contact with mercurials, And he had mercury poisoning in the brain. So I put him on a chelating, meaning to oxidize it with high doses of ascorbic acid, 4 or 5 grams a day of ascorbic acid to flush out all that mercury out of his brain. But the knowingness came out of nowhere. It was not a linear progression of logic at all. So where did that knowingness come from? I think the intention. His intention was to get better, and my intention for him was, by God, I was going to get him better no matter what, or I was going to do all I could in his behalf. So as a physician, I gave my all in all I could on my behalf to help everybody, and I felt that was the way I viewed God, was that was God's expectation of me, that I would do so, and that's why that patient was sent to me, because it needed a doctor who would do anything for God, not for the patient, but for God, by treating the patient. So your devotion to divinity then does have quite an effect, I think, on the level of consciousness, your understanding of the life experiences that you have. I think God will see to it this person goes here and not then there, depending on their karma. So the whole thing works out with a certain confluence. There's an inner knowingness, and of course, praying intensifies it. So when you ask God for help from a certain level of understanding, which you may or may not understand, God cannot say no. So if you say, dear God, please help me with something, God's sort of stuck. You can't really say no. He'll send it to you. Whether you can assimilate it or not is something different. He may send the rain, but unless the seed is planted, what good does the rain do? I sometimes joke with it, and I say, I got God in the corner. Now listen. God has a great sense of humor, thank goodness.